We'd like to thank our friends at PwC for their support, partnership, and collaboration in making Retail Gets Real. Learn more about how PwC helps retailers at pwc.com.
Today's episode featuring Kiwi co-founder Sandra Olin was released last year, but with so many kids at home with their parents today, we thought it was worth another listen. To meet parents' needs during the pandemic, KiwiCo has recently launched a summer camp in a crate that keeps kids busy all summer long. You can find out more about their new stuff, Camp KiwiCo, and all their digital content and DIY activities at KiwiCo.com. We hope you enjoyed today's episode, and we'll be back next week with a brand new one. Thanks for listening.
We're truly a garage startup story. So we started at my garage and the kids would come sit on the driveway and do hands-on products and test them for us. And that's a part of who we are. So we have always had a pretty sizable room in our offices that's dedicated to testing with kids. And kids come in 4 to 8 times a week. The noise level goes up a notch and we have a lot of fun just learning from them.
I'm Bill Thorne from the National Retail Federation, and this is Retail Gets Real, where we talk with retail's most fascinating leaders about the industry that impacts everyone, everywhere, every day. Today's guest is someone who might be making your kids smarter. Sandra Olin is the founder and CEO of KiwiCo, a subscription service that delivers an age-appropriate box of activities to the doors of kids around the country. Join us today as we talk to Sandra about the journey of growing the business, the secret of her success, and what's in KiwiCo's future. Today, I am joined by my friend, my colleague, and my co-host, Sarah Rand. Hello, Sarah.
Good morning, Bill.
How are you?
Oh, I'm pumped.
Pumped. That's a good answer.
I am. I really am.
Okay. As the mother of 2 young children, I am not surprised. Mm-hmm.
And an aunt.
Yeah, and an aunt. Yeah. How old are your kids?
5 and 7.
5 and 7. Great kids, too. Yeah. Sandra, welcome to Retail Gets Real.
Thank you so much.
We're really glad you're here. I think we've got a great story to tell, and we're going to start at the beginning. How did you get to KiwiCo?
Sure. So stepping back, I am an engineer at heart. And so in school, I actually studied chemical engineering and ended up joining Procter & Gamble. So my career, when you look back on it, has been comprised mostly of being in consumer products and technology, specifically e-commerce. So at Procter & Gamble, I did R&D for paper products. And then after a few years there, ended up here in Silicon Valley, where I was at a couple of startups. And then went back east for business school and then came back out and was at PayPal for about 5 years and then eBay for a couple years. And then after that experience, actually started KiwiCo. And it was really born out of personal need. So my 2 oldest kids, so I have 3 kids now, but my 2 oldest kids at the time were almost 5 and almost 3. And I really wanted them to experience hands-on projects. I thought it was a great way for them to exercise their creativity, hopefully to put their problem-solving skills to work, see themselves as makers and creators, not just consumers.
Right.
And I grew up doing a lot of hands-on projects. So as a maker, as an engineer, I had a lot of fond memories of doing that. And as I started to pull these projects together, and Sarah, you may have some experience doing this, it actually took a lot of time and effort, parsing through, coming up with ideas. Actually schlepping 2 kids around to find materials was actually a big pain. And so when I started to do this, I was like, I need to amortize my time and effort. And so I ended up inviting my friends and their kids over and doing these activities. And one of my friends during one of these play dates turned to me and was like, Sandra, you have to start a business around this. And my first thought was, oh, this could be a really fun business to work on, but is it actually a viable business? And so what I ended up doing is really scrappy consumer research. So ran focus groups out of my living room, friends of friends, sent out surveys, online surveys. And the long story short is that there are a lot of busy, well-intentioned parents out there. They're looking for ways to provide enriching activities for their kids in a really convenient format because everybody is busy. And if they're able to get that from a trusted brand, which is what we've become, they're kind of all in. And then for the kids, of course, it needs to be really fun and delightful. And we do our best to kind of fulfill that as well.
That's fantastic. And just a simple idea of somebody saying, you know, you should start this as a business. That's wonderful when you think back and you look at the seed and how that germinates and then grows, and then you have KiwiCo. So when thinking back, chemical engineer, my dad was a chemical engineer. Did you ever anticipate this was the direction you were going to go in your professional journey to do, be an entrepreneur, to do, start a business, something like KiwiCo?
No. So I did not set out saying that I wanted to start my own business or that I wanted to be an entrepreneur. But when I look back on it, I think there are actually a number of signals that may have actually indicated that if I were to start a business, this was the type of business that I would start. And so I think oftentimes you think about the fit between an entrepreneur and a business that they would start. And this is just absolutely my passion and something that I think my experience has actually teed me up really well to do. And so, like I said, I grew up being a maker, really leaning into hands-on projects, being an engineer. When I was young, my parents actually were entrepreneurs. And so one of their businesses was we had a kiosk in the mall that I got to name called Wonderland. And we sold trolls when trolls were really big way back when.
Yeah.
So this is before the latest craze.
Right.
And I remember doing that. And then when we had excess inventory, going to flea markets to get rid of the inventory. So I had that experience kind of growing up as being an entrepreneur. Child, I guess,
right.
Being a part of it all. And then going through the experience of working on consumer products, really understanding consumers deeply, which is at the heart of what Procter & Gamble, I think, really does well.
Right.
And then kind of growing up in e-commerce. So having been at PayPal, having been at eBay, that's been really helpful, as well as we've started our business, which is obviously a direct-to-consumer e-commerce business.
That's fantastic.
What led you to that, to the direct-to-consumer model? Why not create the boxes and sell them through others? Why do it yourself?
I think for us, what was really important is that we have that relationship with the consumer. And so from the very beginning, I described that we did a lot of consumer understanding, trying to understand we kind of call them our little customers and our big customers. So we have the kids, of course. And from the very beginning, we would set up, we were truly a garage startup story. So we started at my garage and the kids would come sit on the driveway and do hands-on projects and test them for us. And that's a part of who we are. So we have always had a pretty sizable room in our offices that's dedicated to testing with kids. And kids come in 4 to 8 times a week. The noise level goes up a notch and we have a lot of fun just learning from them. So that's always been a part of who we are.
That must be so energizing for your staff. I would love to have kids come in and just start having fun in the middle of my day.
Oh, it's awesome. I mean, it really is. I think one of the things that drives us as a company is that it's like, sure, we're in the middle of Silicon Valley. We're an e-commerce startup with a direct-to-consumer model. And people talk about digitally native, vertically integrated brands. And yes, we are all that. But at the heart, we're also a very mission-driven organization. And so when you look at what we're trying to do, we describe it as we're trying to really build the creative confidence of kids so that they feel like they can change the world. And so that really ties us all together, and seeing the kids there and interacting with a product, and not only seeing it in real life during our testing sessions, but we get a ton of direct feedback through social media as well. And that has been fantastic. So that direct-to-consumer model has actually led us to understand and I think actually develop a product better, because ever since the very first crate that we shipped out at the end of 2011, we actually get data about every crate. We send a survey to customers. We understand what's working, what's not working, how crates actually score relative to each other. We're able to take all that, design a better product and a better experience, but also take that data and say, okay, over the course of someone's lifetime with us, and we are mostly subscription-based too, when should we be sending out what kind of experience to a customer at what point in their life cycle? And what we're able to do is take that data and actually analyze it and use that to be able to send certain experiences and certain crates to a customer at a given time. And that's been really compelling from the point of view of the customer as well as for us as a business.
I'm going to let the moms continue to talk.
Okay. So I think about all the data that you're pulling in, and I love the idea that you've got these kids who are coming in and they're giving you this this feedback. My big question is, how do you keep creating new ideas?
Yeah, so we have a really talented product design team. So we have, if you look at our team, it's comprised of designers who are building that physical product experience. So whether it's a science experiment, an engineering project, a game that you make and play, art and design techniques, we have a really talented group of designers who are building out those products. And so it's taking it from concept where they're brainstorming and getting inspiration from all different sources, all the way to prototyping, testing with the kids every step of the way, whether it's the concept or new materials that we're bringing in, all the way through to when we have our production samples and we're testing the instructions and the inspiration, and then all the way through. So we have product designers on the physical side, and then we also have designers and engineers who are working on our digital experience. So making sure that we have a really robust platform when it comes to the commerce experience, and we also provide a lot of content. So we have physical content. So every crate actually comes with a magazine for the kids. And for our youngest age, it's for the grown-up, typically the mom. And then we have online content as well. So with every crate, we encourage kids to go online and explore and learn more, because hopefully what we've done is we've sparked something in them where they want to continue to interact or learn more about a given topic or subject.
What are some of the lessons that you've learned along the way? I mean, the hard lessons. I'm going to do this in two parts. Lessons learned, but when you came up with this idea, how many people said, nah, it's not going to work?
So, actually, our team had a moment, and it's related to lessons learned. So as much as I had experience in e-commerce, so if you think about PayPal and eBay, there's no inventory involved. And so I'd say when it came to inventory and supply chain management, I had a really, really steep learning curve. And so what I ended up doing is surrounding myself with really great advisors and then building out a team of folks who were experts in that particular area. But I remember in the very, very beginning, just as an example and to kind of answer your two questions, I went about just purchasing the crates, so the boxes, the packaging. And what ended up happening is that the run that we did, it actually ended up being 2 pallets worth of material. And they're like, where would you like to ship this? And we were out of my garage. So it's like, oh, this residential address, please. They're like, no, we cannot send this to a residential address. And so I ended up asking a friend a favor. So it ended up being shipped to a business, to a dock. I ended up cutting up the pallets and putting everything into my minivan. And it was packed to the max. I mean, the passenger seat, the entire thing filled with crates. And then bringing it back to the garage, and it filled, you know, half the garage. And I was like, oh my gosh, like, what a great lesson when it comes to space planning, right? Inventory. And then what we did with those boxes is that we started to fulfill kind of our alpha and beta runs. So our first run was something like 25 crates. And so we were assembling these crates and experiences that we were sending across the nation to see what this would be like. And it literally took a team of maybe there were about 6 of us all day to do 25.
Wow.
And the team literally turned to me and they're like, oh my gosh, how are we going to scale this business? And so
I'm not going to work this hard every week.
Yeah. I mean, it was just, for the business to work, we needed a subscriber base that was going to be more, greater than 25.
Yeah.
and so, but, you know, it was one of those instances where you have those questions, but you learn at such a quick pace at those phases. And every time we went through those things, we learned a tremendous amount and we figured things out as we went, as you do, I think, for a lot of startups. And you continue to iterate, and that's how you end up growing and learning.
Do you continue to have scaling challenges? I imagine you guys are just getting bigger and bigger and you've added other age groups. I'm waiting for the parents edition to come out. Mm-hmm. I would like my own kit. But I have to believe with the additional lines and additional subscribers that you are continuing to learn about how to get bigger?
Yeah, absolutely. So there is actually, we started the company with one line. So the line was Kiwi Crate. Mm-hmm. And now it's really geared towards early elementary age children. So perfect mm-hmm. for your kids.
Oh,
actually.
They love their Kiwi Crates.
Oh, awesome. Yes. So pleased to hear that. And so we had Kiwi Crate. And then in 2014, at the end of 2014, we launched three new lines. So we launched Tinker Crate, Doodle Crate, and Koala Crate. Koala Crate is for preschoolers. So more around early childhood development. Tinker Crate is for ages 9 to 16. So that kind of later elementary, tween age. All about STEM, so science, technology, engineering, and math. And then Doodle Crate was all about art and design for the same age range as Tinker Crate. And at the time when we launched these lines, we thought, which of these lines will take off? We'll double down on the line that actually takes off. That was kind of our thought. And come to find out, all three lines really well. So holiday 2014, we are selling out of each of the lines. We're scrambling to take advantage of that holiday demand. Mm-hmm. And we end up deciding to do all three lines. And what was interesting is that we had some hypotheses around what that would mean if we did the three lines, but we learned even more from it, and it actually helped the business in a tremendous way. So it was a real inflection point for the business. One thing that we learned is, of course, we were kind of building out our addressable market because it was a wider age range. But in addition to that, we were able to test different marketing messages because they were all kind of different in terms of what the value proposition was to the consumer. And then when you actually look at the economics, the vast majority of U.S. households actually have more than one child. So we were able to ship multiple crates to a given household. So now 25% of our shipments have more than one crate going out to a household. And what that means is that from a unit economics perspective, one of our biggest costs is shipping. So we were able to actually amortize that shipping. So that was a really, really big deal for us. And that really paved the way for us to get to a point where the beginning of 2016, we've been profitable now, cash flow positive. And I would say that some of that is because of some of those things. So when we look back on it, you're like, wow, that's going to be a lot to manage. But it's actually helped us scale the business.
So what's next? What's the future?
So I was just going to ask that.
So we continue just the end of last year, we launched two new subscription lines. So we have Atlas Crate, which is all about kind of new geographies and cultures, encouraging kids to see themselves as global citizens. We launched Eureka Crate, which would be maybe perfect for you, Sarah. It's ages 14
Eureka.
To 104. So kids at heart.
Anyone buy any presents this year, listen up.
So all around engineering
Spencer.
And design. And then we are building out our e-commerce store. So for one-off purchases, which allows us really to tap into new use cases, new price points. We're really excited about some of the crates and experiences that we're designing for our kind of traditional e-commerce store. And then we're looking at new channels where we have a lot of organic demand, like schools.
So speaking of Eureka, so there's a lot of National Retail Federation has a lot of student programs at universities across the country. And a lot of the people listen to this podcast. I found out one time that a professor requires their students to listen to the podcast. But it's great because we get to have a conversation with them as they prepare for their careers. What is the one piece of advice that you would give to somebody that's listening to this program, that's in college, getting ready to go into retail, maybe as an entrepreneur and starting their own business or getting into retail and then getting knowledge in order to someday go out and do their own thing? What would you tell them is the best piece of advice that you could give based on your experience?
I would say that one of the considerations, I think, for a grad would be to think about their career and how to optimize for learning. So I think it's tempting to sometimes look at different choices and routes in terms of how they could go about building their career and consider things like title or other factors. And I would say, I think optimizing for learning ultimately really pays off in a significant way. And it's something that I would definitely encourage.
You know, it's interesting to me, Sandra. I mean, when you think about it in today's day and age that you have, when I see kids at restaurants or I see kids, playing. They're normally on tablets. And you're providing something that stimulates in a whole different way. And I think parents are just really anxious for something like this. But make it easy. I mean, because people are stressed, they don't have a lot of time. So it's easy to hand them the tablet and say, all right, you know, these educational programs. But to have something that the kids can see, touch, feel, figure out on their own, I think that's you're in the right place at the right time for all the right reasons. So speaking of time, we're getting close on time. And we have a part of the program that you may not know about, but we call it Rapid Fire.
One of our favorite segments on Retail Gets Real is Rapid Fire, thanks to our sponsor, PwC.
So what we're going to do is we're going to ask you a series of questions, and you're not going to think about it. You're just going to answer with the first thing that comes to mind. Are you ready?
I'm ready.
All right. Sarah, kick us off.
Do you have a favorite kiwi crate?
No. I think of them as all of my children.
You've got a lot of children. What's your favorite genre of music?
I would say pop.
What was your first job?
I was a referee, a soccer referee.
Ooh, that's cool.
Yeah.
Nobody's ever told that one. Yeah. Pizza or hamburger?
Both. I would say pizza.
Very good.
Morning person or night owl?
Night owl, although I'd like to become more of a morning person.
What is your favorite weekend?
I love busy weekends, actually. I have three kids, lots of sporting events and activities, and I lean into that. I love it.
Cool.
All right, so as a mom, what is the thing you never leave your house without?
Diaper bag.
Morning person or night person?
Night person.
What superpower would you like to have?
I would love to be able to extend my days sometimes.
That would be nice.
Yeah.
Boy, that would be really helpful, especially with email. Sandra, thank you so much for being a part of this show. And let me ask you a quick question for our listeners. If they want to learn more about KiwiCo, where do they go?
They can find us at kiwico.com. Also connect with us on our social media channels, Instagram, Facebook.
Great. Sandra Olin, founder and CEO of KiwiCo. Thank you so much for being a part of Retail Gets Real. And Sarah, thank you once again for your excellent co-hosting.
Thank you, Bill.
And thank all of you all out there for listening to another episode. You can find more information about today's episode on our website, retailgetsreal.com. And please send your feedback and episode ideas to podcast@nrf.com. Thanks again for listening, and we'll talk to you next time.